One thing I want to say right off the bat, hope you feel the Spirit of the Lord like I'm feeling the Spirit of the Lord today. I tell you, God is so good. And I tell you, that God wants us, each and every one, to be blessed. He wants to bless you more than you want to get a blessing. I tell you, that's the God I serve. He said, try me and see if I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain the whole. So a lot of times, well, what's going on in your life? Well, it's just humdrum, so-so, nothing changed. Every day is the same. Well, glory to God. Maybe you ought to try the Lord a little bit and say, Lord, you know what? You said you had a storehouse up in heaven, and Lord, I'd like to see you just open up a window and pour out a blessing I can't contain. Why don't you try him a little bit? And kind of be, that's what the Lord's got on my heart. For those that have your Bibles and like to read along, I'm going to be in 1 John, going to read the fourth chapter, and we're going to read until the Lord says it's enough. Boy, I feel good in the ways of God. I feel good in the Spirit tonight. Well, preacher, I'm going to have to preach real soon, but what's this Spirit you're talking about? I tell you, this day and hour that we're living, when the Spirit of God comes down in the church, some people get scared to death. Well, what's that? I don't even know what that is. Well, glory to God. Maybe by the help of God, we can preach it out tonight, just what that Spirit is. You don't need to be afraid of the Spirit of God. See, you need to be born again of that Spirit of God. And once you get born again of that Spirit of God, that's all you want, is being filled of that Spirit. Bless His name. We're going to be in 1 John, the fourth chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. And it reads like this. Excuse me. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know that ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ, that Jesus Christ, is come in the flesh of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, bless His holy name. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. With the best of my ability, that's correct reading. Well, glory to God, you pray for me. Sometimes when I feel the Spirit of God, like I'm feeling it now, I want to go too fast. And I don't want to do that tonight. I just want to do what God had had me to do. And He said, beloved, believe not every spirit. See, there are more than just one spirit in the world. And glory Spirit of God, we need to know the difference between the Spirit of God and the other spirits. There are some evil spirits in the world. Well, what is that? I want you to know the devil is a spirit. You need to understand that just as God is a spirit, the devil is a spirit. And glory to God, there's other spirits out there. And we as God's children, well, bless his holy name, has been suggested. No, he said try the spirit. That's not a suggestion for us to do as God's children. We need to understand that we got to try the very spirits that are out there, praise God. Because why? There's many false prophets that's gone throughout the world. I'm telling you this today, I'm glad that when Jesus walked this earth, he didn't come on his own accord. He didn't come to do his own will. He didn't come to fulfill his own desires or his own purpose. He came to do the will of the Father. Bless his holy name. See, I like the Gospel of John. In the fourth chapter, it says, when the Bible tells us, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees knew that Jesus baptized more disciples than that of John. Praise God, though Jesus himself did not baptize them, but his disciples did. Jesus left Galilee and went into Smyrna, for he must needs to go through Samaria. Well, glory to God. Bless his holy name. What's that tell me and you about Jesus? Well, praise the Lord. He's just like us. He's one who's sensitive to what's going on around about him. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus knows your heart. I don't care what you're thinking or what you believe. He knows all about you. You can't keep it hid. Them Pharisees and Sadducees and the rulers of the people, they knew whom Jesus was, but they sought the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Yeah, they would rather have pats on the back. They would rather have a big name. They would rather have people look to them as if they were the authority about God in the land. But glory to God, Jesus knew that they knew that there was more people being baptized than even John the Baptist himself baptized. You're not going to get over on Jesus. You got nothing hid. You got nothing covered. Your life is an open book to our God.
Amen.
Bible says they came into to Smyrna, to a city called Sychar, where there was a parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And this is how we know Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, he came in the flesh. And the Bible says, and he was weary of his journey, and he sat down on the well while his disciples went into town to get some victuals. Well, glory to God. See, Jesus had a body like you and me. He needed to drink. He needed to eat. And he needed to take rest. And when he overexerted his body in the flesh, it got weary just like us. I'm glad I got a Savior who can be touched by my infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He knows the strength of your body. He knows your health. He knows your sickness because he was in the flesh. I will let you know the Spirit of God. Well, preacher, you said you're going to help us understand what's the difference between the Spirit of God and the other spirits. Well, bless his holy name. We're going to try our best to bring it out tonight. You just bear with me. I don't know how long we're going to preach, but we're going to try to get it out. And there was a certain woman who came to the well about the sixth hour of the day. What was the sixth hour? Well, the sun rose around 6 or 7, and the sixth hour of daylight, that would have put it around noon. You know, most people in the land of Israel, around noon is a very hot time of day. And though many people would go to the well at that hour, you know why Jesus must needs to go to Samaria? There was a woman that was going to show up when no one else is going to be there, but Jesus went just for her. You're here and lost and undone. He come by this house of God just for you. God's trying to say, I'm telling you, I love what I feel here. I love you, church. And that's God in me loving you. How do you know God is in you loving the church? Well, we're going to preach that too. So she came when no one else came. And Jesus said, give me the drink. Now this is an experience for her. She goes, how is it that thou being a Jew and me a Samaritan, that ye ask me of a drink? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Well, glory to God. Well, preacher, what was the difference between a Jew and a Samaritan? Well, praise the Lord. Samaritans, they were half a Jew and half Syrian, Assyrians, because way back in the Bible days, one of David's sons sinned against God, and the Assyrians rose up against the children of Israel and came in to the Samaritans. That area and took all the Jews and took them captive and placed his own people there. And over the period of time, the Syrians and the Jews got together and got married, and they had children. And the Jews looked down on the Assyrians, Samaritans, as if they were dogs.
Right. Exactly right.
Boy, you're getting a lot of Bible history there. You go back. I love the Old Testament. It's the schoolmaster. It's our example of grace. It'll tell us things. And she was shocked that here was a Jew talking to her. And Jesus said, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask me of a drink, and I would give you living water that you neither come here and draw and never thirst again. What was he telling her? Living water? You didn't have to draw out of a well? Well, glory to God. She didn't understand it either. You're welcome to ask that question, because she had to. She said, how is it? Where is this living water? Or you have nothing to draw with. And Jesus said, praise God, that water I give to you shall be living water. It shall rise within you a well springing up of living water that you'll neither thirst again nor draw. Well, glory to God. She said, give me. He said, go get your husband. See, Jesus knows all about it. You can cover up your history. You can cover up your past. You can tell men, women, and children your life story and leave out the truth. But you ain't going to hide it for Jesus. She said, well, Lord, I have no husband. And Jesus said, thou hast well said, for thou hast five husbands, and he that you now have is not your own. Well, glory to God. Your history, your story, Jesus has got your number.
Yes, he does.
Now, that scares me. Don't be scared. Well, the Jews say in Jerusalem is where you go and worship, but our forefathers said here in the mountains where you worship. He said there was a man that had come and told her all things. So Jesus said this, the time, the hour should come that neither here in these mountains or Jerusalem shall ye worship my Father, for my Father seeketh him who worships him in truth and spirit.
Amen.
Truth and spirit. See, any kind of worship just ain't going to work.
Right.
You know what? When I came here today and came here last week, and I came to your friends and family day about a year ago, there's one common thing that I felt every time. I felt an overwhelming love. What was I felt God. I felt God in my heart. And glory. Well, you must have had your cup upright. Well, glory to God. I had God. I'm not saying I'm upright or perfect, but I know God and I know his spirit. And when I come to a house of God and feel God in the midst, I get excited. I get filled of joy. And I want to tell somebody about Jesus. He said, God is a spirit. So I want you to catch that. God is a spirit. Well, I thought you just read God is love. A lot of people got in mind that love is an emotion. Love is affection. You know what makes love different than anger? You know what love is different than feeling joy? I'm a preacher, you're trying to preach something new. No, it's just the Bible. See, love is spirit. Because God is spirit. That's why love is so strong and so powerful.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'm lost and undone. I love my mom and daddy. God is letting you experience Him.
Yeah.
You'll not leave this world and not able to stand before His great white throne. You'll not be able to stand in judgment and say, God, I never felt you. He'll come back and say, well, did you love your dog? Did you love your cat? Did you love mom and daddy? Did you love your son or daughter? Did you love your friends? And you'll have to say, yeah, I loved them. He said, that was me. That's what you felt. You can't say you didn't know I was real, because love was in your life, and that was me. Praise God. I'm not preaching the new Jay. A lot of people don't look at it that way. When God showed me that love was spirit, it kind of floored me a little bit, and I had to pray about it and start saying, well, how come when you go in and you just fill up with love? I'll tell you, I'll say this. When God first saved me, I was newly baptized. My grandpa was in Knoxville in a Catholic hospital dying of cancer. And there in little Morristown was my great-grandmother, who lived to be 92. She was in the hospital. That was my grandpa's mama. And I got to praying for both of them and got concerned. And I said, God, where you at? The Bible said your love. And me and Kim went to see Granny, and they brought us in because it looked like it was closed. And we were talking, and they were praying. And all of a sudden, I felt everything shaking. I felt like the building was bouncing up and down. And I turned to Kim. I said, what, honey, did you feel that? What's going on? She goes, I don't feel nothing. Glory to God. I was so filled with the love of God. God filled me up. It seemed like my foundation was shook. See, God's here tonight. You're lost and undone. You're not be able to stand before God. Say, well, I didn't ever know you was real. If you loved anybody, you've loved God. See, He said, try the spirits to see if they're of God or not. He gave you an example of what a false spirit, the spirit of error was. That spirit of error will deny Jesus Christ every time. I'm telling you, He is God. He is Christ. He's the God-man. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and shadowing of the Most High. He didn't have a natural dad. God being overshadowed her and the Holy Ghost being there, God spoke the word, my son, and Jesus became Christ in the flesh, in a virgin.
Amen. Exactly right.
Now, you really believe that? It's by faith we believe He framed the foundations of the world by His word. God said, and God said Jesus, and Jesus became flesh. The word, He's always been. Jay quoted this morning, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was God.
Right.
Same was in the beginning with God, and by Him was all things that was made. Anything that was not made, not made by Him.
Right.
That Word is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He's the everlasting Father. He's wonderful, and He's love. What are you going to preach? Well, glory to God. What's it like being born again? Well, there was a Jay covered that a little bit, and I got to cover the same ground. There was a ruler of the people, a Pharisee by name of Nicodemus. And I'm like, Jay, I don't need the sparse words or I'll give you why he came at night. I don't know why, but he didn't come where everybody else could see him. He came at night, and there he was to talk to Jesus. And glory to God, Jesus said, verily, verily, except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he was right religious. He knew a lot about God's word. He knew the law. He said, how can a man when he is yet old be born again? And Jesus said, marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. He said, verily, verily, except you be born again of the spirit and water, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For the spirit, he said, where the wind lists and where it bloweth, you know it not, but you hear the sound thereof, same as everyone that is born of the Spirit. Well, glory to God. Bless his holy name. I thank the Lord. What's that tell you? I'm glad I can feel love. I'm glad the love of God is strong in my heart. I know he's alive. I know he's here because he's just running over in me. And glory to God, I feel it, and I can hear his small, still voice. That's the same way as someone being born again. The wind blows through the trees. You don't know where that wind's come from. You don't know where it's going, but you see the leaves move with it. And you know what's wonderful about seeing the leaves move? You can also hear it.
Yeah, man.
See, this is real. A lot of people say you can get saved and not feel it. Well, glory to God, I don't know what kind of salvation that is. If I couldn't feel love, I didn't have what I needed. If you can't feel the love of God in your life, I don't care if you think you're born again, something's wrong. See, that's the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. God backs up his word. I'm glad, Jay, we can know where the sons of God, there's people, I hope when I get to heaven, I hope when I die, I go to heaven. Well, he said, we know we are the sons of God. You can know this. You don't have to guess. Glory to God. See, John, I call him the love preacher. He was the disciple, the Bible said, whom Jesus loved. That's a title he gave himself. And I love reading. And an old preacher, and I forget his name, used to come to faith when I first got saved. I want you to turn to One-Eyed John. That's not Two-Eyed John or Three-Eyed John. We want to go to One-Eyed John. We're going to preach love. I'm going to tell you, love is God. If you experience love in your life, you know God's real. You'll not have an excuse. Well, I didn't know you was real, God. I didn't know. I just thought you was this mythical figure. You was some kind of spirit up there, not coming and going. We didn't know where you was going. We just kind of heard about you. Well, God's erasing all that doubt. If you got love in your heart, God's dealing with you right now. See, some, he said, pulling out the flames with love, and others with fear. God's wanting you to trust him tonight. I thought I'd be preaching for quite a while, but it looks like we're going to wind up. See, that's the problem when I feel the Spirit of the Lord like this. I get in too big of a hurry. And I don't want to get ahead of the Lord, but sometimes I do, and you just pray for me. Lord, slow him down, settle him down, get him in the Word. Praise God. See, you know why God's children can say they're born again? We know we have passed from death unto life if we love the brother. You know, there's a lot of people, I work with people that tell me, yeah, I got saved, preacher. Oh, you do? You did? Yeah. How's your church doing? Well, I don't go to church. I haven't gone quite a while. You know how life is, preacher. It just gets so busy. And, well, can you really say you got saved? See, if God is love and God puts that himself within you, give me that old-time religion. It makes me love everybody. somebody. You can tell me you got saved, but if you don't love your brothers and sisters like you do the Lord, well, something's not quite right with you. You need to check yourself, make your election, and call in short. Glory to God. We're supposed to love one another, Jay. And I can't love you. Well, I love you from a distance. You're a fleeting thought. Maybe once a year, you're a fleeting thought. Maybe 5 years ago, I went back to that old church. Well, something's not right. If you don't love the brethren. See, love is not an emotion. Absolutely, it's not an emotion. That's something no man, woman, boy, or girl is ever going to be able to deny, Josh. God is love. God is a spirit. I had to do a lot of praying. I thought, Lord, I can't preach that. They're going to think I'm trying to make up some kind of new doctrine. He said, no, it's the Bible. You're not preaching anything new. It's there in red and white and black and white. And it's who I am. I'm glad he can take away all doubt. You're one of them eternal security preachers. Well, glory to God. You know what? I've had an earthly father that corrected me. Sometimes for his own pleasure. And boy, did that hurt. But you know what? When I got out of the will of God, I got a heavenly father who has chastened me and brought me to repentance, Josh. He said, if we much more give heed to our earthly fathers, we should much more give heed when God corrects us. Why does he do that? He loves you.
Amen.
He said, for as many as I have loved, I have chastened and rebuked. Therefore, be ye zealous. And what? Now, I've had some preachers that real quick, you preach too much repentance. You act like God's children live out in sin. No. I'm not preaching you're living in the bars. I'm not preaching you're whoremongering. I'm not preaching you have desires for homosexuality. I'm not preaching that kind of life. But praise God, church, we know when Jesus, that love is not feeling as strong and that peace is not where it's at, that something's not right, that we need to have a little talk with Jesus to clear the way that may assist the mist of sin may rise. But a little talk with Jesus clears the way. I'm talking about repentance. What do you mean? Well, glory to God, we all have to contend with this outward man. And sometimes the outward man gets the upper hand. Does that mean I'm going to hell? No, that means you just have to have a little talk with Jesus and clear the way. So you can feel that love. I'll tell you, I felt God's love strong the last 2 weeks and every time I've been here. Church, God's taken away all doubt. So tell me, what is love? Well, it's real simple. Herein is love. Not that we first love God. You know what? I'm just going to talk about me because I know about me better than anybody else. When I was lost and undone, I didn't do harm to nobody. If I hurt anybody, it was me, so it's nobody's business. And you know what? Really, didn't experience what true love was. I had love for parents, love for siblings, love for self-preservation, love for pleasure. I had all that kind of love, but I didn't know what love was because I didn't really love God. Herein is love. Not that we first loved God, that he loved us and gave his only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our atonement. Well, glory to God, bless his holy name. I wasn't thinking about him, but he thought all about me before the foundation of the world. He had a man of salvation before he created the devil, before he created the angels. He already had the man of salvation. Preacher, you never preach a plan of salvation. Because you got to have the man of salvation, and that's the God-man, Jesus Christ. See, God knew I was going to come to a place I'm one of them, and I felt I was at my last opportunity. In fact, I told my wife, going to my grandfather's hospital bed, I said, "Honey, if I don't let Jesus save me soon, I don't think he'll ever save me again. I don't think I'll ever see the opportunity." And that was New Year's Eve of 1990. Well, I got to the hospital January 1st and spent the whole day there. I got there about 8 in the morning, stayed there all day, stayed there all night. I spent 24 hours awake with my grandfather laying in the hospital dying of cancer. Spent all day January 2nd. I just lost, and God was dealing with me, looking at the Bible that I read all my life. I'm glad God's got living Bibles. If you're a mom, dad, grandpa, aunt, or uncle, brother or sister, and you're the only one saved in your family, be the living Bible that they read. Walk that Bible, talk that Bible, follow that Bible, and be that example. And there I was, looking at the Bible that it was all my life. My grandfather always telling me about Jesus, telling me about needing to be saved. I called him up one time, "Grandpa, my appendix ruptured. I had gangrene. I was about to die." And he said, "Oh, grandson, don't you know how close you are going to hell? Don't you know you could die and split hell wide open?" I hung up on him, mad as I could be. Here I felt like I was ready to die, and all he wanted to talk about was hell.
Good grandpa. Amen.
He was the Bible I read. I stayed with him all the way until mom and dad and I believe my wife Kim and my grandmother left the hospital about 10 o'clock that night. And it was an hour's drive from where he was in Tennessee to Morristown. And all I stayed awake, and God was just tearing me apart. We get in bed and I think, well, I've been up almost 40 some hours. I'm close to 40 hours. I'm going to sleep real good. It's going to be good to go to sleep. And God started breaking my heart. Began to show me where I was lost and undone. And I seen myself unfit. I seen myself in dire need of salvation. And I began to cry out to Jesus and then begging him to forgive me. You know, Jay, I tried to checklist it. I didn't want to leave one sin and not asking to forgive. And all I had to say was, "Jesus, save me." But I was so concerned because I was such a rotten man. I'll tell you, my poor wife, I don't know why she married me before I got saved. I was rotten as can be. And finally I said, "Jesus, I believe you died and shed your blood on the cross just so I could get saved. Save me." And I want to tell you what happened to me. Love came to my life. And there I lay in that bed full of love. And I was like, "Whoa, what is this?" I thought I knew what love was, but this is new. This is powerful. And this is more than just one man can stand. I rose up. I went and fell asleep after I asked him to save me and slept the sweetest peace I ever had. Never slept so good. Woke up about 7 in the morning, ran across the street to my great uncle, who's a preacher. Said, Uncle Leonard, I got news for you. Jesus saved me last night." Couldn't wait to tell it. Went back to that Catholic hospital. I told every doctor that come by, every nurse that come by. I went to every patient's room, said, "You know, Jesus saved me, and I got love in my heart. I love you. I'm praying for you."
Yeah,
see, that's how we know the Spirit of God. Church, when God shows up in a congregation, don't let the Spirit of God scare you. That's love. When you feel the power of love in the house of God, you can start shouting, "God's in the midst. We're getting ready to have a barn burner. We're just going to have a good old time in Jesus because love is here."
Yeah,
love's not an emotion now. Jay, come stand with us, church. I tried my level-headedness to preach so you can tell the Spirit of God.